This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This mini-series is brought to you by Home, the postpartum hotel where mothers are mothered. Across three episodes, together with Home founder Larissa Leone and the Ready or Not community, we interrogate what it means to navigate motherhood and matrescence in modern Australia. While this series is brought to you by Home, the experiences and views about my time in their care are entirely my own. Before we get into it, I want to send my love to every mother out there. From the one who's struggling just a bit, in the very mundane way that so many mothers do, and just like I did, to the one who's struggling a lot. While this series sets out to open up the conversation of what the everyday mother goes through, if you think that you might be struggling more than that, there's help available in our show notes. We do cover themes of postnatal depression and anxiety, psychosis, and suicidal ideation within these episodes. Please, before you listen, take a moment to think if this feels right for you right now.
I remember holding him. He was 6 months old, looking down at him and thinking, I grew every single centimeter of this boy. Like, this is all from my body. It's my blood. It's my milk. I made all of him. This is all my body. That is a wild responsibility to carry around.
That's Nell Frizzell, a British author who I was lucky enough to interview. To this day, that conversation remains one of my favourites. And whether your baby has been breastfed, tube-fed or bottle-fed, her sentiment should serve as a reminder that perhaps this motherhood thing can feel quite maddening, because at times it is. I'm reminded of an essay I wrote titled The Secret Life of Us, in which I wax lyrical on the things that you don't see when you pass a gently smiling mother in the street. The things we keep secret from the world. The things that we leave at the door when we cross the threshold from the inside to the outside. And I imagine what it would mean, what it would feel like to be able to see the physical effects of carrying around this wild responsibility we call motherhood. Like proud artworks covering our bodies, I picture walking past a mother knowingly. And instead of quietly wondering what joys and pains motherhood has thrust upon her, I would see her battle scars in cracks filled with gold, like the Japanese art form of kintsugi. Each mother's cracks would be different, but we'd find ourselves in one another. Our cracks would tell our stories, our bodies mere vessels to showcase all of our lived experiences. Our shame made beautiful, our bodies pieced back together. Our journeys would be etched onto us for the world to see. Look at me, look what I did, look what I've been through. I am mother, hear me roar. Kintsugi is the ancient Japanese art of putting broken pottery pieces back together with lacquer mixed with precious metals like gold, silver, or platinum. If an object of pottery is broken, rather than discarding it, the pieces are painstakingly repaired over months. Instead of trying to hide the damage, the cracks are highlighted in precious metal. Mothers are programmed to hide their cracks. We're good at it. Experts, even. But for the Japanese, kintsugi is a part of a philosophy of embracing our human flaws and life's fragility. It's about celebrating imperfections. Kintsugi teaches us that in life, we can turn adversity into something that is beautiful and resilient. Kintsugi shows us that in time, we can heal from our wounds, embrace our imperfections, and become stronger. If there was ever a better metaphor for motherhood, for the experience of motherhood, for being cracked wide open and piecing ourselves back together again, I'm yet to find it. I'm thinking about that notion of embracing human flaws, and I'm thinking back to what Larissa said in the first episode. that she's not ashamed that she put her fist through a wall, that she did the right thing for her baby and herself in that moment. It had me wondering what mothers would like to forgive themselves for in their journey, if we can start to fill in our own cracks with gold. One mum would like to forgive herself for not having the perfect birth. It wasn't her fault. She knows that, but she needs the reminder. Another wants to forgive herself for having to go back to work full-time for financial reasons. One mum wants to forgive herself for the way she treated her husband when he was going through his own postpartum depression. Other answers included nighttime rage, getting frustrated easily, wanting to throw their baby when they refuse to breastfeed, the short fuse, not getting help sooner, yelling at their baby to sleep, not being able to breastfeed, too many moments to name just one. Another mum would like to forgive herself for growling at her daughter so bad that she got scared. She said she'll never forget her face. And finally, a sentiment that so many mothers can relate to. This mum says, honestly, the whole first year of insanity towards the people that I love. I want to forgive myself for not loving every single moment. For not gliding my way through second-time motherhood the way I did with my first. For shushing too aggressively in my baby's face. For losing my cool sometimes and not always being able to gentle parent. For not being exactly the mum that I thought I'd be. Now I'm turning to you, the listener. I want you to think about what you might be able to forgive yourself for. Write it down, say it out loud, and give yourself a hug. I'm swimming on my own in the ocean on a beautiful spring day in New South Wales. It's the last morning of our first holiday as a family of four, and it's one of those trips that will eternally be etched in my heart and my mind. One of those holidays that nearly moves you to tears because it's so perfect. Parents will often joke that a holiday with kids is simply parenting in a different location, and I've had those holidays, but this wasn't that. This holiday, like my stay at home, will forever be bathed in a golden glow. For the last month since I checked out of home, I felt a sense of calmness and clarity creeping back in. And while I'm still tired at times and will go on to have hard days in motherhood, where my stocks feel depleted and my mood's low, I know that I'm not in the place that I was just a few months ago. I know that I can find what I found at home. And as I'm swimming with the current, diving through waves and coming up for air, I'm thinking of home, both the place I will soon return to and the place where I spent that transformative time. The home that ends with an E and the home that ends with a B. I'm thinking about the meaning of the bridging of those two words, H-O-M-B, of home and womb. My womb was the first home that my babies ever knew. To be someone's house is a beautiful thing. You decorate it, plant your favourite flowers in the garden, you cook and serve your family's favourite food around the dining table, fill it with your most loved books and photos and sounds and smells. It's the place where you say good morning and good night to the people you love. It's the place where you dream and rest and laugh and cry and feel. But keeping the lights on within a home is expensive. Maintaining cleanliness and nourishment and fun and care is taxing. For a home to function, bills need to be paid, gardens watered, bathrooms cleaned. And for a mother to function, she needs much the same. Care, maintenance, and all of the things that make her house, her body, able to healthily function as her baby's home. My body still doesn't feel like mine. Not quite, not yet. For 3 years, I've either been growing or feeding a human. But with fewer night wakes now and less breastfeeding, I can feel that I'm coming back to myself, coming back to my own home. And I know that the way in which my children will occupy my body as their own will change over time. Once I was their property entirely. They occupied every corner of each room that makes up my body, and my body felt like it was created to serve them and them only. As they grow, I'll take up less of them and them less of me. Eventually, the space I occupy in their lives will just be a few rooms within the big house that makes up life. Then one day, the space designated for mother won't be much more than a spare room. And while my baby's needing less of me will no doubt bring equal amounts of pleasure and pain, I know that this body of mine, this house of theirs, will always feel like their home in some small way. So for now, I focus on keeping my house in order, of taking what I learned from that home with a B and bringing it back to my home with the E. So I've written down some promises for myself. Perhaps you might like to make your own too. Remember to breathe deeply. Take a beat before you rush off into the day. Burn your favorite essential oils and buy your favorite flowers. Eat more protein, stop eating your toddler's scraps, and don't ever forget how the food at home made you feel. Get off your fucking phone. Books make you far happier. Outsource one thing when things are really overwhelming. It is always worth it if you can afford it. Go for a walk every single day, no matter how average you're feeling, no matter the weather. Maybe hail is a good enough excuse there. Otherwise, get out there. Pick flowers down the street with your babies when you need a shake-up. One daily coffee and one daily coffee only. You don't need any more. It wreaks havoc on your nervous system. Save your shower for when the kids are in bed. Add lavender to the base of the shower and enjoy the beautiful smell as the steam rises. Enjoy the peace. Focus on quality, not quantity, time with your babies. Yes, you're back home now and things are busy. Emails need answering, laundry needs folding. But just for now, put that laptop away. Take your mind off any thoughts of dishes and laundry. Just sit and be. It doesn't have to be for a long time, just for a good time. That's all we're here for anyway. Say no when it doesn't feel right. You know your body keeps the score. Listen to it. Share with your friends how you're feeling in the moment rather than after the fact, both the good and the bad. Celebrate the good and hold each other through the bad. And finally, always come back to the water. As Larissa and I wind up our conversation, I ask her what she'd go back and tell the newly postpartum version of herself if she had her time again.
I would just tell her to stop. Just stop.
Stop. Just stop. She could have gone on. She could have sought to further explain what she meant, but her message was clear. And so I'll stop too. Stop to take a breath. Stop to smell the roses. Stop trying to control the uncontrollable. Stop feeling like I'm being dramatic when I'm not feeling my best. And stop to remind myself that despite its challenges, despite the way it's maddened me, somehow, still, this motherhood thing is the best thing I've ever done. I'm actually quite fantastic at it too, and so are you. And on the days where stopping isn't enough and you just feel like running, if it's safe to do so, make your way down to the water, dive in, and let out a great big fucking howl. This is a Ready or Not production brought to you by Home, the postpartum hotel where mothers are mothered. I'd like to thank Nicole Ryanstein for helping me create this series, and also Michelle Andrews and her recent production Glass for inspiring me.